Hello, Monday, July 5th. I'm Trent Rensmith, and this is another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast. Just two things today. First one is Chael Sonnen talking about UFC fighter pay, defending UFC fighter pay. And I want to discuss this a little bit because Sonnen is no dummy. He knows how to make an argument to fit the facts that he wants to present. He knows the UFC butters his bread, and so he's going to make an argument that the UFC pay is good for professional sports. And he made a great argument because he knows what he's doing. He knows this is the point he wants to get across, and he knows how to do it. And in his podcast, when it's just him, just like me here, he can make it. He can make an argument that works, and I'm gonna try and refute that argument using the facts that Sonnen used, but also looking at it not so narrow. He looked at a narrow aspect of professional athlete pay. I'm gonna look at something a little broader, and I think when you expand the point a little bit, you're going to see that what he focused on, while true, isn't really what we should be focusing on when we're discussing UFC fighter pay as compared to other professional sports. And so here's what he said. And his argument is, and again, this is a good argument for what he's trying to accomplish. And he's going to look at minimum pay here. And this is what he said. The minimum pay right now is $12,000. The minimum now is six times as much. I will give two tickets to anybody who shows me any company in the world that is paying six times more right now than what it paid 15 years ago. So I looked at the sports, professional sports, to see what I could find. And this is what I found. NHL in 2005 was $450,000. Today it's $750,000. So not even double. NBA in 2005 was $399,000. Now it's $925,000 minimum. This is in thousands. So pretty good increase there, but not six times. NFL 2005 was $230,000. Today is $660,000. Again, decent increase, but not six times. MLB was $316,000 in 2005, and today it's $570,500. So not as good as NBA, not as good as NFL. One thing I did find is that between 1986 and 1993, the NFL increased four times as much, which is very good. It went from $198,000 in 1986 to $800,000 in 1993. And that was due to strikes, collective bargaining, and the percentage of the revenue that the players are going to share with the league. Now that's what we should be looking at here when it comes to UFC pay, not minimum, because minimum doesn't take into account anything else really. It just looks at how little they could get away with paying you. And 15 years ago, the UFC could get away with paying you $2,000 for your first fight for a minimum. Today, they can get away with $12,000. The real thing we should be looking at here is percentage of revenue. And all those other sports, the minimum salary is based on the percentage of revenue. So the percentage of revenue is split 50-50, almost 50-50 in all those other sports. It's close enough to call it 50-50 just to make the argument easier and make a point. It's not too far off. So 50-50, and then the minimum is taken from that amount. Okay, so that's why the increase isn't that much, because the players in those sports are already getting 50% of the revenue. That's not the case in the UFC. The UFC is getting 20% or less of the revenue. The last we heard, it was somewhere between 17 and 18%. That should be the focus here. Not that we can get away with paying you $2,000 or $12,000, but we can get away with paying you 17-18% of the revenue, while the other sports are closer to 50-50. Now, if you boost that UFC closer to 50-50, that revenue is going to increase. Revenue share is going to increase, and the UFC fighters are going to get a lot more from top to bottom than any other than they're seeing now. Will it equal the other sports? No, but the revenue is not the same as the other sports because the other sports are bigger. So I think what we should be really looking at and really focusing on is not that the minimum increased six times, because the minimum is, again, this is how little I can get away with paying you, $2,000 or $12,000. It's peanuts when you look at revenue. The UFC's revenue, I think, was $900 million. I might be wrong there. That's just what I think was the last thing I saw. And so, come on now. That would mean $450 million would be going to the fighters. That's not the case. Not the case at all. And if that was the case, you'd see a lot less complaining about fighter salary. The focus here should, again, not be on a minimum salary. It should be on the revenue share. Don't look at the... It's kind of funny that we would say, you know, this is... I'm paying you as little as I can get away with is what we're focusing on here. It doesn't make any sense. Now, Chael Sonnen made a good point in what he wanted to do is that this increased six times. And I can't argue that, because if that's the fact, that's the fact. But the fact also is that the UFC does not pay its fighters a share of the revenue that can compare to the other professional sports. So that's the focus. Look at the share of revenue, not the peanuts that the minimum salary is. So I just wanted to make that point. Again, he made his point and made it well, and he wasn't lying, but he was looking at a very specific thing that in the big picture doesn't really matter. The UFC is not sharing its revenue in any way that's fair to the people that generate the revenue, and those are the fighters. So until that revenue share increases, you're going to hear complaints top to bottom. And it's just going to be that way, because everyone sees what the other sports are making, and it's close to 50%, and they know the UFC is not in that ballpark, not even in that city. So nice try from Sonnen. Did a good job of making his argument, but looked at something that was pretty irrelevant when you consider overall fighter pay. UFC 264 happening Saturday. Main event, Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier 3, T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas. Co-main event, Gilbert Burns, Stephen Thompson, welterweight fight. Going to look at that fight now, break it down a little, give my prediction and what I think about the matchup. So Burns is number 2 in the welterweight division. Thompson is number 4. Burns is coming off a loss to UFC welterweight champion Kamaru Usman in February. That loss ended his 6-fight winning streak. Thompson coming off 2 wins. And before that, he was on a 1-3-1 run. Draw came to in a matchup 2016 with then-champion Tyron Woodley. He lost to Woodley in a rematch. Other two losses were Darren Till and Anthony Pettis. His win during that time, the 1-3-1 run was Jorge Masvidal, coming off victories over Jeff Neal and Vicente Luque. Odds, Burns is a plus 140, and Thompson is a minus 172. I think those odds are pretty fair. And here's the tale of the tape. Burns 34, Thompson 38. Overall record, Burns 19-4, Thompson 16-4-1. 6 knockout wins Burns, 7 knockout wins Thompson, 8 submission wins Burns, 1 Thompson, 5 decision wins for Burns, and 8 for Stephen Thompson. Burns is the taller fighter at 6 foot. I'm sorry, Thompson's the taller fighter at 6 foot. Burns is 5'10". Thompson has a 4-inch reach advantage over Burns, who has a 71-inch reach. Both fighters are orthodox stance. Significant strikes landed per minute, that's Thompson at 4.24, over one more than Burns at 3.22. Striking accuracy is pretty close. Burns is 45%, Thompson's 42%, I'm sorry, 43%. Significant strikes absorbed per minute, Burns is higher at 3.04. And Thompson is at 2.80. Sorry. Striking defense, pretty close. Burns 54%, Thompson 58. Takedown, Burns being a grappler, 2.08 per 15 minutes. Thompson being a striker, 0.32. Takedown accuracy, Burns is 35%, Thompson's 45%. Takedown defense, Burns at 50%, because I don't know if he's really one of those fighters that's going to try and defend the takedown because he knows how good he is on the ground. Thompson is definitely going to try and defend the takedown, and he's good at it at 78%. Submission average per 15 minutes is 0.7 for Burns and goose egg for Thompson. So what do we have then? Burns, again, one of the best grapplers in MMA. He's become a much better and much more confident striker as of late. And in a pre-fight interview for this matchup, he said he's looking forward to striking with Thompson. And I don't doubt that. I think that he has kind of fallen in love with his striking because it's good. It has improved exponentially, and it's nothing that he should worry about in a normal fight. But this is not a normal fight. Thompson is not a normal striker. He is a extraordinary striker, and he's better at striking than Burns. Just his base, his karate base, is not something that Burns is going to want to tangle with. But if Burns sticks to that plan of striking, I don't think that goes well for Burns. Thompson might be older at 38, but he's still a hard puzzle to figure out as far as striking goes. His karate stance, his speed, the way he works angles, going to be very difficult for someone to figure out, like Gilbert Burns to figure out. But if he decides to tangle on the feet, Burns is going to be in deep water from the get-go. And Thompson will win if Burns sticks to the plan to stay on the feet. Burns is dangerous on the ground, and if he gets a takedown or if he tries to work his ground game, he is going to give Thompson fits. But I don't think that Burns is going to do that. I just think that he has kind of seen his popularity soar as he tried to strike and accomplish striking and became a better striker. I think he saw his popularity soar. He got a title fight off the back of that striking. And so he knows that the matchmakers, the fans, Dana White, they prefer a striking game and a striking fighter to a grappler. And that's just the way it is. The excitement level for a striker is much higher than it is for a grappler. And matchmakers are going to reward that because fans are going to like that. And Burns is going to fall victim to that, I think, in this fight. And I think he's going to get outstruck and beaten on the feet by Thompson. I think if he goes to the ground, it'll be too late in the fight and he'll be too far behind. And I think he'll be tired. They'll both be slick with sweat. And I don't think he'll be able to get a submission on Thompson in the later stages of the fight. I just do not see that. I think Thompson will get ahead moving in and out. He'll control the range. He'll control the striking. He'll use kicks. He'll frustrate Burns. He'll frustrate Burns into making a mistake on the feet or shooting a sloppy takedown. And I think that's going to be a problem for Burns, is the frustration level. If his mind is made up to strike and he sticks to that, he will become frustrated, he will become sloppy, and he will get beat. And my pick is Thompson by decision. I think Burns' best shot is to catch Thompson early with a strike, but I don't think that's going to happen just because of how good defensively and how good Thompson is at using range and distance. So Thompson by decision, and does this get him a title shot with Kamaru Usman? Because we know Colby Covington's hanging out there, but we also know that the fight is not officially booked, and the UFC always, always, always waits to make these decisions when another big fight is, you know, on the schedule. And this is that fight it's waiting to decide on. So if Thompson does get a knockout over Burns, I think he'll punch his ticket to a title fight with Usman. If he gets a quote-unquote boring decision, I think the UFC will go with Covington. If he gets an exciting decision and he really beats Burns up, then I think it's better than a 50-50 shot Thompson gets the title shot. If I was asked my preference, I would prefer Thompson for a couple reasons. One, he hasn't fought Usman for the title. Covington did. And two, I don't think Covington's good for the sport personality-wise. And I don't think that he gets any better at beating Usman than he did in the first fight, which he got knocked out in. I think Usman has gotten a lot better. I don't think Covington stayed as busy as he should have. I think he kind of expected to get the title fight, and I don't think he deserves it at this point, just because if he's not been busy, he hasn't really been pursuing it. He's kind of just been sitting out and waiting. And Thompson has been vocal that he wants it and that he is staying busy and deserves it. So we'll see how that goes. But my pick is, again, Stephen Thompson by decision in the co-main event of UFC 264. And that's really all I have. Not a lot going on right now because of the buildup to McGregor and Poirier. I'll have some things on that in the next couple days, but that's going to be the focus of the MMA world, for better or for worse. And I will, we'll see what else I have to talk about, because I covered that as far as my prediction last week, and you can find that on the YouTube page. And I don't know how much I'll have to add, but I will have something to add on that fight as it nears on Saturday. And until next time, everyone stay safe.